On a Monday, you're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm George Prentice in for Gemma Gaudette. Does where you live affect how you might donate to a political campaign? That was the question Boise State Assistant Professor Jacqueline Kettler asked in her new study, and the results are out in the August edition of the publication Journal of Elections, Public Opinion, and Parties. We're told that she looked at how more than 7,000 people donated in a U.S. House election. Then they looked again after those people had moved somewhere else. The question, did their donating habits change? Joining us today to talk about the study is Jacqueline Kettler.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
I'm good.
How's your summer?
It's been good, you know, getting back into swing of things.
Here we go. So do you start with a thesis? How do you start a project like this?
That's a great question. So, and I have a co-author, Jeff Lyons, who's also at the School of Public Service with me, and he studies how, you know, where someone lives, how it affects their voting behavior. And I study campaign finance. And we're like, well, we wonder if it affects their campaign donation behavior. So we just kind of, through our conversations with one another, had this question that we wanted to explore.
And without getting too technical, do you then craft a question, the seminal question that you try to answer?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of researchers interested in why people donate to campaigns. And we thought that it was interesting to add on to it, how might someone's political environment, their neighborhood, how might that affect their donating behavior? And one way to potentially evaluate that is to look at people who move and change their locations.
And then do you pitch this project?
So we started collecting some data. We collected data through a scholar at Stanford, has the DIME data set where he's collected campaign finance records. So we were able to use that and worked on it together. And eventually started, you know, presenting the paper at conferences and submitted it to the journal.
How long ago did you start on this?
Well, so we started talking about it at Jeff's job talk in the fall of 2014.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Well, the political landscape, but I guess it always changes.
Sure.
How do you find 7,000 people?
So we started with a much bigger data set, but we wanted to be confident we were studying the same people. So we would do all these little mechanisms that, you know, resulted in a much smaller data set of really kind of rare names. So John Smith wasn't in the data set because we couldn't be sure that John Smith in California then moved to Texas. So we kind of narrowed it down to that smaller 7,000 data set.
And again, so did you target a particular geographic area?
Nope, it's a national population. So we have people moving within states. We have people moving from coast to coast, kind of diverse set in terms of where they are located.
But you're picking those 7,000, it sounds like, from a very deep pool.
Sure. I mean, if we hadn't had a nice big pool to start with, it would have then been much harder to evaluate.
Just out of curiosity, I don't do what you do. Is that what you prefer?
I mean, it depends on the research question. So if I was just looking at, you know, how people in Idaho were donating, I would start with all Idahoans donating, right? But for this particular research design, we wanted to be a little bit more careful that we had confidence in the matches we were making.
Okay, so you started out with the question, why do people donate to political campaigns? Yes.
Sure. Yep. And we know from previous research that a lot of people donate for partisan reasons. But we were really, again, interested in, okay, you live in a Democratic area, you move to a Republican district. Does that impact who you're donating to?
Can I assume that some of these answers are extremely long and some of them are just 5 words?
Sure. Yeah.
How do you turn that into data?
So we were looking at the actual donations. Oh. So we had the records of who they donated to, the partisanship of the congressional candidates they were making donations to, and then compared that before and after their move.
And so you determine the 7,000, you ask the question, and then the next step is to look at the geography or the movement of these
yep.
people, right?
Exactly.
And then what happens again? You ask the same question?
Well, and again, we're looking at campaign finance records, so we were able to compare the donations they did before in that previous district, and then once they moved to a new congressional district, what did their donations then look like?
Okay, so maybe we could just parse this. What did you find out if people move to, say, a Democratic district?
We actually find that people do adjust the partisanship of their donations. So moving to a Democratic district, you will start contributing a larger proportion of your donations to Democrats, even if you had previously been a pretty strong Republican donor.
And to what degree, though? I mean, obviously some people do, but to what degree is that measurable?
It was pretty widespread, that kind of alignment with districts. Yes, I mean, definitely not everyone would adjust. But overall, in the aggregate, we found pretty strong results for that people would align with the district that they would move to.
We're speaking with Boise State Assistant Professor Jacqueline Kettler about her recently published study. It's a great title, The Fickle Financiers of Elections, The Impact of Moving on Individual Contributions. So your study found that the partisan composition of the district people move to influences that donation. Can you give us some examples of that?
Well, I think here in Idaho, there's a lot of concern about people moving in and changing the political landscape. But our research and my colleague Jeff Lyon's other research would suggest that we may also kind of shape their behavior. So when they move here, they start talking to us. They work with us. They go to church with us. And they start hearing what we think. And that may actually, they may align with us after they move here more than, you know, them bringing really strong views with them. And again, like, not that's not going to be true for everyone. But we do adjust to who we are interacting with and who we discuss politics with.
And can we slice your data any way? So, for instance, can you show us Idaho numbers versus Nevada numbers, California?
We did this for a national sample. It would be really interesting to kind of dig in a little bit, especially with a state like Idaho, where we've seen populations from California, but also Colorado and some other areas moving in, if to actually kind of dig in deeper to evaluate those. And I think, you know, my colleague Jeff and I are very interested in continuing with these questions. So I think that would be a great next step in this research.
Well, you said that this goes back all the way to 2014. So how long did this take and when did you publish?
Well, the publication just came out a few weeks ago, so it took a little while. The academic research research publication process is quite lengthy, which is unfortunate. It takes a while to get new knowledge out and shared. But hopefully, once we've gotten an established research design and question, it can move a little faster in the future.
Can you talk a little bit about, because I'm fascinated by this, and goodness knows you're humoring a talk show host here, but that's not the purpose of this study. Where this study is clearly a tool for someone, right?
Yeah, well, I think it's just it's good to know that people will, you know, even a strong partisan donor will look to the partisan composition of where they move to. And so if I was running a campaign just because someone moved to the North End from L.A. or, you know, Orange County, I would still go and talk to them. Maybe they will kind of align with their new neighborhood or things.
This is, I guess, to a large degree, anecdotal, right? Because it's about, like, as you said, talking over the back fence, talking at the grocery store, and goodness knows, in church basements.
Yeah, very much. It's our discussion networks, who we're interacting with on a daily basis. And that, Matt, you know, that's where we pick up norms and those ideas and beliefs in a neighborhood, and that we, as humans, just kind of adjust to those, you know, attitudes and behaviors around those we interact with.
The human condition.
Yeah.
So is there a next step for this? I mean, it sounds as if you are hungry to take the next layer.
I mean, I think that there's still some questions we don't know. We looked at, you know, is competition potentially driving this? And it doesn't really seem to be the case that people are just giving to a competitive candidate. But we're interested in, you know, for people a little bit digging into that causal mechanism a little bit more. Why are people aligning more, you know, their donations to fit with where they move to? It looks like it's part of these discussion networks, but is that what's happening? Are they just now being asked by candidates of a different party? Or are they trying to make connections with candidates? So a little bit more into the mechanisms of what's happening would be really interesting to dig into.
I think the thing that interests me the most is that we're talking about donations. Mm-hmm. As opposed to voting patterns. And donations is pure engagement, right? I mean, these are people who are clearly plugged in to their political beliefs.
Yeah, donors tend to be very politically engaged. They're more politically knowledgeable usually than the general population, which does make it really fascinating to see them actually shifting their partisanship once they move.
Did you find folks who stopped giving donations? I'm guessing that that's part of the human condition too.
Sure.
Is saying, sorry, I'm just, you know, for whatever reason, the economy, or I'm just not politically engaged anymore.
For sure. And we didn't actually, we weren't able to include them in the data set because we couldn't identify them across two elections. But that would also be really interesting to see, right? When, if someone stops giving a donation, why would they, you know, when they move?
We talked about conversation. There has to be social pressure as well that triggers some of this.
Sure. You know, like realizing that, you know, everyone on your street's a Republican donor, and then, you know, you've been giving to Democrats. Maybe you kind of bend to them, or you hear from them a lot, or maybe they're asking you to make donations or come to a fundraiser. And so then you go, maybe not just because you're really thrilled with the candidate, but there's that social element to it.
Welcome to Stepford. Yeah. What does your study tell us about campaign donors overall?
Yeah, I mean, in general, individuals that are donated tend to be it looks like there's a lot of a partisan drive, which, again, is interesting that they do. You know, we do shift if we move to a district different than our own. One thing that we also did was we included some non-movers in the sample as kind of a comparison point. And we find they actually shift as well if their district partisanship changes. Those just don't change very much, right? Because over two election cycles, a district usually isn't going to change dramatically. But so it suggests that this is happening. You know, like you don't have to move for it to happen. Maybe your neighborhood changes around you and you may shift a little bit as well.
Mm. I'm fascinated by almost everything that you do professionally. And I think I asked you this years ago. And so pardon me to get you off base here. I'm curious what you read, every day. What are your go-to sites for objective information?
Sure.
What is your media diet?
I tend to, you know, I review a lot of different media sources. So it's national media like Washington Post, New York Times, those types of outlets, but a lot of local and state media. Twitter is something that I read a lot of because reporters are really often, especially during like the legislative sessions, there'll be frequent updates and things. But shows like Idaho Matters is a wonderful source for getting, you know, kind of diverse viewpoints on issues. So I would say I just kind of acquire, you know, review a broad range of things.
And could you take the temperature of your students for the last couple of years and their level of engagement or maybe lack thereof?
Well, since I teach political science, I will say I think I probably have students who are much more engaged in politics than perhaps most students. But our students tend to be diverse ideologically and quite interested and engaged, though it varies, right? They're kind of a diverse bunch. But they tend to be usually pretty interested and paying attention to what's happening.
Does your level of interest just dial up every 4 years and the fact that we're bumping into 2020 here?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now with the presidential primary campaign on the Democratic side, there's a lot of interest in campaign finance elements to watch, like who's raising more money, who's getting more individual donors or small donations. So, yeah, I think as someone who studies campaign finance, once we start getting into kind of primary season, there's a lot of interesting trends to watch for.
This is really front burner stuff. And the fact that it's being published now is certainly I guess it just happened in your time frame, but the timeliness couldn't be better.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really glad we were able to get this out as we move into the next election cycle.
What's your course load this semester? What are you teaching?
So I'm teaching our Polls 300 American Politics class, which we actually look at American politics through the lens of polarization and what is polarization, what's the effect of polarization, what type of reforms might we consider to help reduce polarization, which is always kind of a fun one, but I do worry sometimes it's a little frustrating for students.
Well, we're going to have you back here as soon as possible.
Sounds good.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Boise State Assistant Professor Jacqueline Kettler about her recently published study, The Fickle Financiers of Elections, The Impact of Moving on Individual Contributions. Up next, we go to the movies. It's Return to Mount Kennedy. We'll talk to a filmmaker extraordinaire on Idaho Matters. You're listening to Boise State Public Radio.